I want to give you just a little start to this morning's message before we go into our prayer time. One of the most ironic thoughts is that humanity believes that they are free. They're free to chase after their dreams, free to chase after themselves. But that's true freedom when you live for yourself and you're carving out a path for your own life and you're just serving you. You're free to do that. And most people would refer to that as true freedom. To live how we want. The irony is, what they don't realize, humanity doesn't understand that that's bondage. When you're only chasing after yourself, that is not freedom at all. The irony is, when you give up your life and give it to Christ, that's when you experience true freedom. And that's when life begins, when you follow after Him. Then you're free to have life abundant. Oh, we could be forgiven, but until we give up ourselves and we serve the Lord and make Him not just part of our life, but the entirety of our life, that's when we're free. That's when we have what Jesus came to give us, what He calls life in the full or life abundant. It's ironic, isn't it? That humanity would refer to their existence as freedom. They don't know what they don't know, and they won't know it until somebody that's truly free shows up and shows them that there's something more and there's something better. Because we do have a testimony. We went from death into life. We went from bondage into freedom. We have a testimony. And I hope that you are one that's willing to share that to the people that are in bondage. So we're going to spend some time this morning praying for those that are in bondage. I bet you can think of somebody right now in your life that is not free. They're truly in bondage. This might be a family member. It might be your friend or your coworker. It could be you this morning. We're going to pray right now. And if you can picture that person or persons, better yet, you can picture them. I bet you can recall their name. So we're not just going to listen to the words of Pastor Steve this morning as I pray for those that are in my life that are in bondage. I want you to do the same. And I want you to just picture, with eyes closed, picture that person. That's Holy Spirit right now is laying on your heart. They might think, Jeff, that they are in freedom. But they're not free. You are. So this morning, will you exercise your freedom to pray for those that are in bondage? I believe that prayer matters. Prayer equals change. And I believe the heart of God will turn when the people that love God and call His name will humble themselves and pray. Pray outside of ourselves. So, if you have a need this morning, just trust that you're being prayed for. But this morning, lay that down at the altar and bring that person. Bring that person in front of the Lord God, whoever that is. And let's pray for that person. 160 people or so, maybe more. If we're all thinking of at least one person, that's a lot of people being prayed for, and maybe there's more. I think there's probably more. Do you think that matters? I do. So for the next few moments, let's invade heaven. Let's boldly go through the curtain of the body of Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies, because we're welcome there. We're not just welcome, we're invited. Come. You can join my wife and I at this altar and our granddaughter. She's sleeping. Wherever you choose to pray, just remember where you are. The Holy of Holies. Bring that burden of somebody else's heart with you, and let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, you're good. You're a good Father. That you love us more than we can imagine. You love us in spite of us. Father, we all fall short of the glory of God. That's what your word tells us. That's the reality of who we are and our sinfulness. But you still love us. You still sent your son, Jesus, you came here to die for us, to die for the likes of me. You loved me ere I knew you. So, Father, this morning we celebrate that, that true love, that unconditional love that you have given us. You just pour out your grace and your mercy. It is not your will that anyone would be separated from you, but there are so many that are living life apart right now from you. But you've given them this beautifully terrifying gift called free will. You've given that to each one of us. The freedom to choose you or not. The Bible tells us that fewer will choose you than the many. But, Father, this morning we bring you the many in front of all of heaven. At your feet, we bring the one that we're thinking about right now that doesn't know who you are, that we love with all of our hearts, and we want them to have what we have and know what we know, to be able to have you as Lord, to be their Lord. So, Father, with that person in mind, each one of us come before you with hearts Father, instill in us the mission to go and make disciples. Let us realize that you love everyone the same. Show us how to love humanity the way you do, and give us a heart, a broken heart for the lost. This morning, Father, we present to you those that we love. You love them even more. So, Father, we ask that you would just move in their hearts with an extra bit of grace, a little bit of more of who you are, more mercy. Father, show up with truth and conviction. Do what you do. Reveal yourself in mysterious and mighty ways so hearts may be softened. Lives can be changed for all of eternity because a church on their knees brings about change. So, Father, this morning, we honor you. Everything we say and do is meant to bring you glory, you alone, as you are worthy. As we pray, as we praise, as we look upon your word, let it just glorify heaven. Let it celebrate you. Father, we love you this morning. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I want to continue in this series of sermons where we are contrasting something that the world has to say compared to what the word has to say. I don't know about you, but the world has a loud voice, but it's not a voice that I trust very often. But I know where I can find somebody that's trustworthy, and that is the Word of God. Amen? This morning, I present to you this idea that the world will tell you that you can accomplish everything you need to accomplish and to find joy and happiness and feel complete and satisfied. And you can do it all by yourself and you need nobody else. The world will tell you that. As a matter of fact, I think we've probably grown up hearing things like, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You have to look out for number one. You have to take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You can't trust anybody. Everybody is out for themselves. So you need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and manage and get along. Oftentimes, that's what we're told. We're told that success in life is dependent upon us and our limitations and our energies alone. Anybody ever feel like they're reluctant to ask for help? I think men sometimes have that. I think I'm a little bit that way. My wife would probably say, amen. Men probably have this problem more than women, but we all struggle with this somewhat. It's difficult for us to ask for help because it seems weak when we need somebody to come along beside us. We know how to do that. We can accomplish. We can manage. We can pull it off. We can pull through. And to have somebody come along beside us and assist us, well, that's weak. But I present to you this morning that that's actually strength. You see, the Word of God says something else. The Word of God doesn't say that, well, you can just do this alone. You can manage life alone. You can live out your life. You can live out your spiritual formation. You can live out your faith in a bubble, on an island, in isolation. You don't need anybody else. But the Word would tell you, we need each other. The Lord God has designed us to need each other. When you look around this room, well, not everybody knows everybody. But I want to present to you that this room and every person in it is a beautiful gift. It's a gift from heaven because each person that is in here for the same reason you are, to glorify God, to go on mission together, and the people that God has given you to do that, that is surrounding you, are the people that are here to help you in your spiritual formation. It's like the Bible says, just like iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. The people to the left of you, to the right of you, the people that are in front of you, behind you, every person in this room is a gift from heaven because every person here is a pathway to growth. Some people would say, well, I've come a long way in my spiritual journey and maybe I've learned enough and I really don't have to go any further in my journey. Then I would say this to that person, well, there's probably more you could come, a little farther you could come, but at least do this. Help somebody else in their journey. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, and it doesn't matter if you're new to the faith or not. We can help grow one another. And that is a beautiful concept. It's a beautiful structure that the Lord God has given us called the church. We are meant to be together. This is not just something we do because it's Sunday. But isn't this a great thing to do because it's Sunday? But there's a purpose of why we gather. We can't do this by ourselves. Pam, I need you. I dare say, you need me. We all need each other. The Word would say, we need each other. Need. Can we go through life alone? Can we struggle and kind of get by, of course. But when we link arm in arm and we draw strength from one another, we're not just better. Church, we're exponentially better. If we're going to go meet a dying world, if we're going to go make disciples of all nations, then I think we need exponential power, not just our own limitations. Amen? If you have your word, you can turn with me where I left off last week in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, The author of Hebrews, leading up to this passage we're going to look at today, was talking about how we have the beautiful privilege of being able to go through the curtain of the body of Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies, that as broken as we are, the Lord God provided a pathway for us to enter into the presence of the Lord God. What a great privilege we have to be able to go into His presence. With sincere hearts, we can be purified and enter into the presence of the Lord God. Now, that's about us. And that is a beautiful gift. And it is an amazing thing that the Lord God is inviting us in, that He is a relational and personal God, that He wants an intimate relationship with each one of us, but that's about us. And I talked to you, I think, last week about how Jesus would find Himself going off several times a day, getting Himself alone and going before the Lord and just being with His Father. And how important it was for Him, how much more important would it be for broken humanity to do that. But that is about our relationship. Now, the author of Hebrews transitions into something that I present to you is equally important because God knows how He designed us. He didn't design us to be isolationists. He didn't design us to be at our best when we're just trying to manage and do life by ourselves, by our own strength, and our own power, and our own limitations. He's designed us to need one another. And it's not weak, it's strength. So if you brought your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. We're going to look at just two verses today. Because the author is transitioning from, this is about your relationship with the Lord God Almighty now. It's important that we shift gears and we look not vertically, but we look horizontally across the body. That is the church. If you want to stand, you want to raise your hands, you want to close your eyes as we read God's word together. Just two verses. And let us, the body, the church, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Praise be to God for the reading of His word. He says two things that I'm going to highlight. He says that we have this beautiful privilege, it's a responsibility to spur one another on. I'm going to circle back to that. But he also said to not forsake coming together as a body. Some are in the habit of doing that. And the author of Hebrews says, don't stop meeting together, because the Lord God has designed you in such a way that you need community. You need spiritual community. You cannot grow yourself into the best version of Jesus Christ alone. You need other people to surround you to do that, and you have to come together as a body. I don't know if you get this sense, but I do, Carly. I get this sense that God is doing something amazing in our midst right now. God is working right now in our midst. Amazing things are happening. I want to just remind you that next Sunday, at 9:15, I'm going to give you that time a couple times because you might think, well, it's 9:30 because church starts at 10:30. It's 9:15. That's when Sunday school starts. We're not having Sunday school next week. Somebody tell me what's happening next week at 9:15 instead of Sunday school. Baptism. Yes, Celebration Sunday. And during our Celebration Sunday, we're going to have baptism after baptism after baptism. As a matter of fact, we're going to baptize more hearts, more souls than we've ever baptized since I've been the pastor of this church. There are at least 15 people that are taking this step in their faith. It's not just something to do. It's not even a step in the faith. It's a giant leap in their faith where they say, I'm tired of life being about me. Oh, I've been forgiven. And that moment was a waypoint. Maybe it was last month, or maybe it was 10 years ago, or whenever it was. But now I want to give my life completely to the Lord God, where I make everything about Him and no longer about me. All the chips are in the center of the table. I'm all in. It is a beautiful moment in church. God is on the move here in our midst. Here's the challenge for you. That's more important next Sunday than this meeting is. 15 people and counting are going to make a public declaration of what God has done privately in their heart and their life. But it can't be public unless the public shows up. So the challenge for you is 9:15, not 9:30. 9:15, come and witness this and celebrate this. This matters. This just matters, church. Let us not forsake coming together as some are in the habit of doing. Church, everything we do here, it just matters. It just matters. And step into those moments. Not everything might appeal to you, but come anyway. Come anyway, because your brothers and sisters are gathered here. As a matter of fact, over the next few months and weeks, we are going to unveil, and I'm going to keep it under the wraps right now, but we're going to unveil like two or three things that we've never done before. Well, we haven't done in a while, that are going to bring this body together, and you're going to have the avenue to step into some new things here at the church. Some of these things are going to be in the way of serving. You remember what Jesus did? He said that He didn't come to be served, but He came to serve. In the upper room, the night that Jesus was betrayed, ultimately arrested, He bent down with a basin of water and he washed his own disciples' feet. That's the author of creation washing his disciples' feet. None of us are beneath serving each other. And none of us are beneath serving a lost and broken world. We're going to have avenues and opportunities for you to serve. Some that are new. Some that exist right now. I want to give you this to think about. We need help in our children's department. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have a lot of children. And they're awesome and they're beautiful. And we have babies and we're making more babies. That's happening. Our children's department, our children's wing is busting at the seams. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I'm tempted to say that's a beautiful problem because there's no way that's a problem. But it's only a problem if we don't have the resources to help them. The greatest thing we can do, church, the greatest thing we can do is to pour into a young heart and a young mind. Because if we don't tell them about Jesus, you tell me. Do you want the world telling them about life? Or do you want this house telling your children about the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's the difference between life and death. Life and death, eternal life and death. It matters. Statistics say that if a young person by the age of 14 doesn't choose to follow after the Lord, chances are they never will. That's why the Bible says that few will find the narrow path and many will find the road to destruction. Church, it is up to each one of us. So if God is speaking to you right now, I can help in the children's area. I can help shape and form young minds. There's a myriad of ways to serve in this. It doesn't mean that you're standing in front of a group of children teaching a lesson. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody would feel comfortable with that. But there are so many ways you can serve. If you have something in your heart, will you please come and see me about that? Will you find Karen? Will you please find somebody? Because I promise you, we'll plug you in. There are ways for you to serve. And there's going to be more ways for you to serve. We cannot forsake coming together because we are made stronger when we come together. We need each other. We're going to provide opportunities for you to come and fellowship together. And I'm going to tell you about something next week, about something that's coming in October that you're going to love. And it's new. It's the first time we've ever done this. And you're going to have a lot of fun. It's just fellowship. But I can't imagine a better people that I would want to be with than y'all's. Let me tell you, when I was a kid growing up at the Kennard Friends Church, my church was the epicenter of our social life. This is where we had our friends, our family. This is where we were spiritually formed. This is where we had fun. This is where we did life. Everything was happening at the church. And I think there's a move that the church folk find those moments outside the walls, church. There's no better group of people for you to come and to celebrate life with than the people that are right next to you right now. These are the people that are like-minded like you. You want to grow in the Lord? Then surround yourself by God's people and you will find yourself growing. And you have the responsibility to help grow somebody else. And it's just fun. Even when we gather just for fun, it just matters because relationships are built. I can remember growing up in my little church. Even though I don't worship with some of those folk now, some of the best friends I've ever had in my life, and they're lifetime friends, and I look back at them as the best people in my life because they helped me grow into a better version of Jesus Christ. And I can think about all of the fun and the times that we had together. I probably think about those moments more than I do about whatever the pastor had to say. But I just think about how much love all those church mamas gave me. The best people are here at this house. Church, do not forsake coming together. Every time there's an opportunity, come. One of the most important things you could ever do is be discipled. To learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are avenues for you to do that here. Show of hands, does anybody in the room know everything there is to know about the Lord Jesus Christ yet? Probably none of us. we'll not fully know until we're in glory. But until then, I want to know everything I can find out, because here's why. The more I know about Jesus, the more I love Jesus. The more I love Jesus, the more I want to be like Jesus. The more I'm like Jesus, the more I'm able to love like Jesus, and more people will find Jesus in me. And the best thing that I can do is step into those moments of learning about Jesus. You hear me say this a lot about Sunday school. Sunday school is a great pathway. It's an avenue for you to step into that. If you're a mama or a daddy or a grandma and a grandpa, the greatest thing you could do is to bring your kids to Sunday school. And then guess what? You get to go learn about Jesus yourself. I could promise you, you're going to find out something that you didn't know. My wife just finished this session leading a class about angels. It was just inspiring to hear how God has helped us by sending messengers from heaven. And it was just inspiring. God loves us so much, and we were able to step into that learning week after week. Baby, you did such a beautiful job. Encouraging and inspiring each one of us. That's what awaits you. But here's the beautiful thing. You get to help somebody else grow. You hear what the author of Hebrews says in this passage? Let us spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us spur. Anybody have a horse? Who has a horse? We have horse people here. You got spurs, Brother Ryan? Spurs. Ouch. They're pointy. They're sharp. But when used correctly, they gently, sometimes a little more persuasively, move the horse forward. But the author of Hebrews is using this as an analogy. To spur one another on means to move each other forward, to help us, to grow us, to encourage us, to inspire us. It's the greatest thing that we could do. Because here's what happens. We are commissioned to go and make disciples. Right, church? How are we going to do that? Amen. How are we going to do that unless we first are discipled? How could we ever make a disciple unless we ourselves are a disciple? The best way to become a disciple is to step into everything that your church is involved in, especially those moments set aside for discipleship, like small groups, meetings together, a ladies' group or men's group, especially Sunday school, forming relationships. Here's what happens. We spur one another on. We inspire. We encourage. We help grow one another. My role here is to create an environment where you grow. This is what I tell people all the time. Find a church. Find a church where you can grow and help grow others. That is the responsibility, because when you do that, when you are being discipled, or when you are stepping in discipleship moments where you are helping other people grow, that is what positions us to fulfill the commission to go and make disciples. But we can't do that if we're living out our faith in isolation, on an island, trying to manage by ourselves. We need each other. This is the structure that God has created for us. We need each other. When I think about the saints of this church, I mean, I feel like that I stand on the shoulders of giants, but when I think about like Glenn and Bobette, you got a good mom and daddy. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for never giving up, for making the Lord and this house the greatest priority in your life. Those relationships, they matter so much because we learn from one another. Look, I can look around this room and I can see people And I see the people that have always been here. John and Sharon, you're the same way. And I see people that are in this room that, okay, it says pastor on the outside of my office. But I want to tell you something. People have pastored me so beautifully and have grown me. Doesn't matter if we're young or old. We can each grow one another. That's what we are commissioned to do. But we can't go and make disciples until we ourselves are discipled. And it starts right here in this house, forming relationships, spurring one another on, moving each other forward. This is the safest place you will ever find in your life. Because we're just a mess, but we're a mess together. A pile of filthy rags on our best day, that's who we are. But we're in this together for a greater cause than ourselves. See, the Lord Jesus Christ loves the people that are out there. He loves them. And He needs us to come together to grow so that we can go together and save the Lord God's children. This is the commission that's in front of us. But it starts with our commitment to come together. So my challenge for you is everything that happens here, as we serve, as we fellowship, as we worship. Did you see all those young adults worshiping at Indiana Wesleyan University? They're sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we become sold out, that's when lives are changed. When we discipled, that positions us to then evangelize. That's what matters. I need you. I need each one of you to help grow me. I need you. I need to hear what God has done in your heart and your life, because that encourages me. That inspires me. I want to hear your stories. I can't hear your stories unless you're here. The people in this room can't hear your stories unless you're here. You can't grow somebody unless you're here. And I dare say that just as much as I need you, you need me, and you need each other. Because we're not meant to do this by ourselves. We can't become the best versions of the Lord Jesus Christ by ourselves. We are designed to need each other, church. It's not weakness to need each other. I need you, Brother Chris. I need you. I need you so much. It's not weakness. It's strength. Even when a bro says to a bro, I love you and I need you. I want to learn from you. Tell me your stories, your journey of faith. That is what we need to do, church. The world would say, you can manage. You can do it. You can figure it out. You can watch church online. If that's your only avenue, that's okay. But the author of Hebrews would say, but that won't grow anybody else. Might grow you, but it's not growing anybody else. Come with me into the house of the Lord and let's do life together, because that's what matters. So in the next few weeks and months, I'm going to provide you new pathways to come together. Some are in service, some are in discipleship, some are just plain old fun. But I'm going to just ask right now, step into every one of those, and especially bring your kids to the Lord God and His house. I think a good mama and a good daddy, or a good grandma and a grandpa, would want the Word teaching our kids instead of the world. Amen? All right, Brother Jim and his team are going to come, and they're going to close us this morning. And I just want you to feel like, well, if this relationship with the Lord God, our vertical relationship, is important, I want you to get the sense that this is equally as important. Our horizontal relationships. All the people in this room matter as much to the Lord God and how you relate to each other than it is how you relate to Him. Brother Jim? You might not notice this on your way in. If you look down the hallway, you can see in the gym there is a table set up. The sign that says free. There's a bunch of free stuff. Y'all can check that out. But next Sunday morning, in the same space, There's 15 and counting that are going to proclaim that they're free in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to happen in that space. Next week at church, pop quiz for you. What time is that happening next Sunday morning? Wow, church, you were doing well. That is your next time that the church can come together to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not forsake coming together as some people are in the habit of doing. Church, next week, 9:15, come and be a part of that. It's public. The public has to be there. You will be blessed. But then here's the thing. Those people want accountability. They want to enter into accountability with you. Best thing you could do is step into that moment with them. Here's the promise that I'm going to ask next week that each person that is there, you help grow me, I will help grow you. That's holy. And it matters for all of eternity. Okay, church, that's your next thing that you're going to get to step into at this house together. But this matters so much. And in the meantime, church, you are sent.